Good afternoon, colleagues.
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Thank you. I see that we have quite a number of members that are in attendance, but I'm not sure if we do have a quorum, even though it might not seem we have it, but I would advise perhaps that since
and he's the Climate Secretary,
that we may start with the meeting, because I don't think the first item and the second one may necessarily require. Yeah. Can you, Nkanyiso, are you able to indicate? Are you able to indicate in terms of the attendance that we have enough members to carry on with the meeting?
And
afternoon, Chair. With the first item, as you indicated, Chair, we don't need a quorum. We can start with the meeting, but with the other items, we do need a quorum. For now, we don't have sufficient members to form such a quorum for the second and the third item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Nkanyiso. Let me then take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you in this select committee meeting on petitions and executive undertakings, and also welcome in particular the Deputy Minister of the Department of Justice, Comrade John Jeffrey, together with the team that is accompanying the DM. We also wish to welcome the members of the staff that are here today. We have an agenda as well as the documents which has been shared by the Secretariat to all the members, including the presentations from the Department of Justice as well as the Department of Social Development. So I hope that the members have looked into that. The agenda that is proposed has got only four items, as it were. The first item is the one that relates to the Department of Justice, which the Honorable Deputy Minister will lead us in terms of that item, which is an update really on the executive undertakings. And then the second item will be the consideration and adoption of the progress report on executive undertakings by the Department of Social Development. And then the third item would be the consideration of the outstanding minutes. I hope that by that time, members who are not yet present would have joined us. I understand that since the country is undergoing a strain insofar as the load shedding is concerned, it is that reason that makes many of our members unable to be in this platform at this point in time. Then the last item will be closure. Though that is the draft agenda, and having welcomed you, honorable members, and the meeting is now duly opened, and I would want to put it to you that we do have this agenda. Maybe before we go there, let me first allow the Secretariat to indicate if are there any apologies. Then we will move straight into the agenda.
Thanks again, Chair. The only apology that I received was from Honorable Ntetwa. That's all, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, is there any other member who may be aware that there is another apology which might have been communicated to him or her? None. Okay, let's proceed. That's the agenda as I have already tabled it. Can we have a mover for the adoption of this agenda?
I move, Honorable Chair, Honorable Bartlett.
Thank you, Honorable Bartlett. Thank you very much.
Sir,
any second?
Honorable Bartlett, second, Chair.
Come again?
Honourable Kenny Mutamai.
Okay, we have Kenny Mutamai seconding the adoption of the agenda. The agenda is now duly adopted. Can we then proceed with the first item, honorable members? And allow me to take this opportunity to invite the Deputy Minister representing the Department and the Ministry of Justice, the Honorable John Jeffrey.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable, well, you called me comrade, Kiva, but yeah. And thanks for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm representing the minister who wasn't able to attend and had asked me to attend. The issue was the undertaking made by the president in the NCOP on the 27th of October. Two issues: that the rise in commercial crimes and COVID procurement corruption has meant that we are fast-tracking the establishment of additional commercial crimes courts and also increasing the capacity of existing ones. We're looking to establish additional special commercial crimes courts in Polokwane, Mbombela, Mahikeng, Mtata, and Mangaung. And Chair, the short answer is that all those commercial crimes courts have been established in all those places and more. One in East London, one in Giani, as well in Limpopo. But I'm joined by a delegation from the department. I see the DG, Advocate Mashabane, the DDG of Court Services, Advocate Skosana, the Chief Director in Court Services, Elizabeth Bikara. I'm not sure who else. Mr. Shumwani from the DG's office. But there is a presentation that I think was sent to you or to the committee. So if I could hand over to the DG to lead the, or just introduce other members of the delegation from the department and I think it's somebody will be making the presentation. I'm not sure if it's Advocate Bikara or somebody else. But if I can hand over to the DG then, Chair. One other point, Chair, if I can be asked to be excused at 1:30, so that's in 50, just over 50 minutes. I'm physically attending the National Assembly, attending this meeting from home where there's better connectivity. So I just need time to get down there and go through all the security clearances and things. But Chair, if I can then hand over to DG Advocate Mashabane. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister, and good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I will request Advocate Skosana, the Deputy Director General for Court Services and his team to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
DDG, DG, is the DDG in the platform?
Chairperson, it's me, the Deputy Minister. The DDG is in the platform, but he's not, his mic and camera are still registered as off. I see this, so I don't know if he's not able to respond. Otherwise, I see that there's an Elizabeth. I assume that's Advocate Bikara. Maybe she should respond. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson, DG and Honourable Members, good afternoon. Yes, I am able to respond. It's Advocate Bikara from Court Services. Can I request that the Secretariat flight the presentation? As I'm not able to do so from this side. And can I also register my apologies for not having my face showing. Unfortunately, my device, the camera is not working. So no disrespect intended. Thank you, Chair. If the presentation can be flighted.
Okay, thank you. Nganyi, so can you assist with that flighting of the presentation?
Yes, I'm trying to assist here. I've made Uxolani Smilane as the co-host and PLO from the department as co-host. But on my side, I'm still having a challenge with my system, Chair. If Uxolani or the PLO from the department can assist, but I've already made them host. With your permission, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm happy to continue. The presentation was shared with all the members. So if you are happy, I can continue while we wait for the secretariat.
No, certainly, Elizabeth, please go ahead in the interest of time.
Thank you, Chairperson. All right, the purpose, as the Deputy Minister alluded to, was to provide feedback on the undertakings that the President made on the 27th of October. If we go to slide 3, you will see that the background to going forward with the SCCC establishment project was a MTSF target of 5 specialised commercial crimes courts, and this was expedited in order to meet the needs that was given rise to by the COVID corruption and other instances of corruption, etc., that we've seen happening in our society. On slide 4, we show how the governance framework was set up. The first was to set up a national SCCC steering committee, which was led by the Department of Justice, but had as its members the National Prosecuting Authority, the Legal Aid South Africa, and representatives of the regional court presidents and regional heads. This in turn led to an establishment of regional structure, mimicking what was done at the national level. And their role was to look at the need for the SCCCs in their regions and also to provide a budget or costing and proposal for the SCCCs in their region. On slide 5, you will see that the SCCCs project plan was approved by the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services in January 2021. And the project plan makes provision for 2 phases. The first phase is establishing SCCCs in those regions which didn't have an SCCC. And the second phase is enhancing the existing SCCCs, incapacitating them and making them more effective and optimized. In the 2020-2021 financial year, which ended on the 31st of March, we were able to establish 6 new SCCCs, in other words, exceeding the targets set by the President and the MTSF. And we established 3 in Limpopo, 1 in Mpumalanga, 1 in Northwest, and 1 in the Northern Cape. All regions, we are happy to advise, now have operational SCCCs. Then the resource needs for the establishment of additional SCCCs in the 21-22 financial year were identified by all the stakeholders, and costings were again submitted by the regional SCCCs steering committees, and these were approved and funds were allocated to the respective regions. And I'm again happy to say that implementation is at an advanced stage with recruitment and procurement now being in process. The 21-22 financial year APP, or annual performance plan for the department, sets a target of 2 new SCCCs, and we've now exceeded that and we are establishing 3. 2 of these, the one in Mthatha and East London, are already operational, although they're not as fully resourced as we would like them to be. So we don't consider them formally established as yet, but we hope to do so by the end of this financial year. We are also committed to enhancing the following existing SCCCs. These are Pretoria North, Palm Ridge, and Durban. Sorry, I'm now a bit confused. Let me just put this right. Sorry, Chair. Slide 9, we have now concluded phase 1 of the project plan and now moving into the stage 2 with the enhancement of the existing SCCCs. We are also looking at how we monitor the efficacy of these SCCCs, and we are developing a monitoring mechanism together with the NPA through, we envisage, the Integrated Case Management System, or ICMS, that the department uses to track the cases. And we're hoping to have the monitoring mechanism approved by the National SCCC Steering Committee before the end of this financial year. The budget that we've utilized, the department was given around 40 million for the next 3 years, which was ring fenced for the SCCC project. To date, we have used 23 million. And the majority of the expenditure here is for human resources, because we have to resource the Legal Aid South Africa, as well as court staff. So since phase two of the SCCC's project plan has been implemented, the remaining funds are going to be utilized to enhance existing SCCCs, monitoring their efficacy, and also working on extending their jurisdiction or enhancing the jurisdiction to make room for matters, for example, economic sabotage. In conclusion, as a short or rather long-winded response to your request, in the 2020-2021 financial year, in other words, by the end of the 31st March 2021, we had two courts established in Polokwane, one in Giyani in the Limpopo provinces, one in Kimberley, one in Mombela, and one in Mbatu. By 31st March 2022, we will have another one in East London, one in Mthatha, and one in Pietermaritzburg. And furthermore, Pretoria North, Palm Ridge, and Durban SCCCs will be enhanced. Thank you, Chair. That's our response. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. DG, would you like to make any additional directive there?
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. No, that's fine. We're covered with the presentation.
Wonderful. Honorable Deputy Minister, you are also happy that we can now put it to the members to interact with this presentation.
Please go ahead. Also, I had a message from DDG Skosana that he couldn't unmute and he's rebooted, so he may also want to participate in responding to questions, but through you, Chair, over to the members.
Okay, thank you very much, Deputy Minister. We thank you for the presentation very much, and I will waste no time but to put it to the members to interact with this presentation. Honorable members, we have time constraints, but I think that this presentation is quite very clear in so far as the PowerPoint that has been presented to us. So what I would ask is that I open now the floor for questions, clarity seeking questions, as well as comments that members may want to have. I will then recognize hands. Are there any takers? You will help me on your side, Nkanyiso, to identify hands.
Honorable Chair, is Honorable Dodovu here? I'm raising my hand.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Dodovu. Let's just give you the opportunity to do so.
Thank you very much for the presentation and welcome the same team that the department is doing to establish the specialized commercial crime courts. Just some few points, comments, and questions. Firstly, I think this is a very, very good initiative. My view is that this must be expedited. This cause must be enhanced to fully function. They must function very effectively so that they accomplish their predetermined objectives. Secondly, I want to request that the cause must be fully resourced, so that the matters that are before the courts must be expedited. As I said, they must be staffed, they must be equipped, and all the necessary things must be put in place to enable this court to function. The second part is that I know that in the context of the Northwest, there is only one regional court in Mafikeng, the specialized CCC in Mafikeng. Are there any intentions to ensure that similar courts are established in the bigger centers of the Northwest, like in Klerksdorp, Potchefstroom, and Rustenburg, where commercial crime incidents are highly reported? That's my first question. The second question that I want to establish is the jurisdiction of this court. If, for example, in the case of the Mafikeng SCCC, which is located in the regional court of Mafikeng, where is jurisdiction ends? Is it only serving the district of Mafikeng or any other cases that are outside the boundaries of Mafikeng be handled outside that particular court, sorry, inside that particular court or not? Those are my questions for now, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dodovo. I'll now give an opportunity to Honorable Shahida Shaikh. Honorable Shaikh.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you clear.
No, thank you very much. And let me also thank the department for the presentation. Chair, I think I'm partly covered on the first point. Honorable Dodo covered me to some extent. But I think we should note the progress that has been made, especially with regard to increasing the number of the special commercial crime courts, as well as the additional achievements that were made by the department. But clearly the five special, the five SCCCs, it would be important that they actually are functional and well-resourced, and able to fulfill their responsibilities. And I think Honorable Dodovo did raise that matter. My second issue relates to the second undertaking with regard to enhancing the existing SCCCs. Clearly, the department has also made progress is making progress in that regard. The issue of the monitoring mechanism, which will monitor efficacy, is only likely to be in place by the end of the financial year based on the presentation, as well as, enhancing the jurisdiction of existing SCCCs. Perhaps on this undertaking, Chair, we should note the progress. But also, I think at some point, perhaps the department should also give us an update around the actual implementation of enhancing existing education.
Thank you, Honorable Shaikh. Are there any other members who would like to point out questions or comments before I hand over to the Deputy Minister, the DG, and the DDG?
None, Chair. I think we are covered by the two latter speakers, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. DM, I just wanted also to hear from a point of view of the appointment of staff, especially the presiding officers, to the courts that we are told that have already been established in various provinces. Of course, Honorable Dodovo spoke about the resources. I want to point out in particular the question of human resources as well as the presiding officers, just to check the state of readiness of these courts. And if you can also further segregate by informing us which ones of these courts that are already fully functional and which ones are still outstanding. I understand from Elizabeth that others will come into effect by the end of the financial year, March 2022. But I just want to check with those that have already been established since the new financial year, which ones of those are fully functioning. Thank you very much. Over to you, DM, as well as the DDG and the DG and the DDG.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just in response to your question, the most of the courts are special courts, temporary courts, so they are they have a acting regional magistrate presiding, who is somebody selected by the regional court president of that area. There's one regional court president for each province. And then as far as the courts that are functioning, as I had said, East London, there was a acting regional magistrate appointed for the East London Commercial Crimes Court. I think it was in April, in May, I think, and Umtata in April. I might have mixed them around. So those courts are functioning. Let me just say that I think a lot of the success of the courts is linked to the enthusiasm from the regional court presidents who've been continuously trying to push to have more. The regional court president of the Eastern Cape, Mr. Dunua, was telling me a day before yesterday that he feels that the East London Commercial Crimes Court is very successful. There is another one, by the way, in Port Elizabeth, or a couple in Port Elizabeth. There are some challenges, he feels, with the Mthatha Commercial Crimes Court. So that basically means for the rest of this financial year, it is just Peter Maritzburg that needs to be operational. Then that there's enhancements on existing commercial crimes courts in Pretoria North, Palm Ridge and Durban. But if I can hand over to the DG to lead the input from the department relating to Honourable Dodobo's questions around plans for other centres in the Northwest and the question of jurisdiction, whether it's just the magisterial district. Just to say that in case members are not clear, these are at a regional court level, not a district court level. Thanks. If I can hand over to the DG. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I'll ask Advocate Kosana to deal with the details of those questions. Other questions? I saw his hand was up. I'm not sure whether he's still online.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, DG and Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. I hope I'm audible. Yes, and I apologize that I could not join immediately. I've been trying to unmute until I went to reboot the system. Honourable Dodobo, in terms of jurisdictions, the courts, regional courts exercise provincial jurisdiction, although they're basically established in the main district in a province. So there's nothing that stops the regional court president to move the case around within the provincial jurisdiction. But I think the jurisdiction in terms of the criminal cases is not as rigid as in terms of civil case jurisdiction. In terms of civil case jurisdiction, there's been an amendment of legislation to ensure that suits are only lodged within those spaces which have been demarcated accordingly by the minister. Whilst in terms of the my jurisdiction, obviously, is between the NPA, the DPP, and the judiciary, who can basically schedule cases within those courts. But I think that, as far as possible, placed within the district where the matters have arisen, where the dockets are, the investigations, etc. With regard to your major centers, yes, that is the intention of creating more courts, and I think the starting point has been to create these courts at the seat of the regional court in the province. So therefore, it was a certain Mafikeng, because then the seat of the regional court of the division is in Mafikeng, as well as the JP and the NPA, and also the scheduling. But as and when cases arise from other major centers, then the JP is able to request additional appointment from the deputy minister of the judicial officers, and then we use the budget to enhance what has been existing, those caused by appointing additional resources to hear those matters. And I think the view has always been that those enhancement processes are just in immediate interventions. But as time goes on, once it becomes established that there's a level of certain matters arising from certain districts, whatever, there's then a need to create permanence around ensuring that resources are built around those courts. And I think the opportunity of moving capacity around just to make sure that those courts are going to be optimally utilized within the spaces where they've been used. And I think as and when it becomes established that there are trends showing a continuous increase of the role around certain courts, then there'll always be different mechanisms to ensure that we sustain those kind of resources. The good thing about this process is that the department receives additional budget over and above its baseline from National Treasury. That earmarked funds. So the 40 million that my colleague have alluded to, it's an amount which have been given by a treasury dedicated for this cause and cannot be used for any other purposes. And I think over time, treasury can then transfer that money additional to our baseline so that become part of our baseline allocation. But now I think it has been brought up front so that we can basically deal with the scourge of this. Of these cases, and I think there's going to be more coming to this court's way as the State Capture Commission runs down, and there are more cases arising from corruption as well as from fraud, etc. And that will basically create a more opportunity to create a sustainable capacity around those courts, etc. Around the issue of the capacity, we've also transferred a budget to a legal aid South Africa. And I think 30 million of that budget, this financial, has been transferred. And that is to augment their capacity to make sure that you extend wherever there are requests for legal aid practitioners around this cause, they should then be able to meet that demand. And I think the department is able to absorb those in terms of interpreters and court recording clerks, etc., as well as through the provision of equipment necessary for the court, the CRT machines, whilst the other HR capacity are dedicated from this budget, etc. So those are basically the response to your question. And I think just to respond to Honorable Shai around the monitoring and evaluation, the project team which have been established around these courts is already starting to monitor the cases out of these courts so that the roles can basically inform the enhancements. So as and when the case roles show an increase, there's an opportunity to move the resources to areas where there's greater need so that we can this can be managed by the regional court president. As the deputies have said, there's quite a lot of goodwill from the regional court president in terms of managing these resources, and we're assisting that process from the department side. Thanks, Honorable Chair, and I think we've responded to those which have been raised the question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Advocate Kosana. Members, I will give you an opportunity for a second round. If there are any questions that have been prompted by these responses. If none, I would just ask one more question, Deputy Minister, with regards, this is just a follow-up to my initial question. If the presiding officers or the personnel that has been deployed in these courts, especially at the level of presiding officers, are going to be temporal, is that not going to create a strain already? Because you find that provinces that are rural in Maine would have one regional court. If then you're going to expect people at that level, because that regional court is already having issues of capacity by virtue of the demand of the cases on the roll. Is it not going to create a problem for what is expected on the Commercial Crimes Court? And secondly, is that not going to also compromise the quality of processing the cases in those courts? That's the second one. Thirdly, has the issue of language, which is always an issue well considered when it comes to the SCCCs? That would be my only follow-up question, DM and DG.
Chair, thanks. Look, I think it would be up to Advocate Skosana just to indicate if there are plans to make the courts more permanent. It obviously depends on the volume. You know, the let's take the Eastern Cape, the northern part. There's the Commercial Crimes Court in Umtata. It can hear cases outside the jurisdiction of Umtata itself, but the problem is the distances that people have to travel. So there are apparently a number of cases at Mbizana, so they can be heard in Umtata, but it's some distance. So those are all things to look at. But the idea of a permanent of a specialized court is that it will just deal with commercial crimes issues and have the necessary expertise for that. On the quality issue, no, I haven't heard of any problems. I think the where there are acting regional magistrates, I think they are quite carefully selected by the regional court presidents. One or two are private practitioners. I can't really remember the rest, but it's obviously something that we would monitor. And then the issue of language, I'm not too sure, Chair, the question. As you may know, the Chief Justice and the heads of court had said that English needs to be the language of record of the commercial crimes, of all courts. Even in a situation where everybody in that court is speaking a particular language. So if you take many courts in the Eastern Cape everybody would be speaking isiXhosa. But for the purposes of appeals and issues, they made that determination, the heads of court and the Chief Justice. But anyone can speak in whatever language, anyone can testify in whatever language, and then anyone can speak in the court in whatever language, and that would need to be interpreted by officials from the court. So I don't know if that, I wasn't entirely following the question, but I mean, effectively then in the Eastern Cape, the matters, as with other courts, would be conducted in English. But people can lead evidence in whatever language, and they can address the court in isiXhosa, and somebody would and an interpreter would have to translate that, or would need to translate that. But if I can just hand over to the DG and to DDG Skosana to add, and particularly on the issue of the permanency question. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, DG. As I've tried to explain, honourable members, it will basically be informed by the volumes and the trends. And I think how National Treasury would do, they will not take that money away. it starts as a project allocation. And I think over time, once we have shown that money is required for this purpose, they will then transfer that money, they'll then accommodate that money as part of the overall baseline allocation. And then at that time, we'll then be able to create permanence around the position. So it gets given as 40 million because we requested that 40 million because there was a need to address the issues of corruption. And that follows the interventions government have basically looked at after they've established the interministerial committee to address the issue of the rising corruption. So if the need gets established and gets sustained, then and then there's a more to create permanency around the functions, we can then motivate as such. And for that budget, it can then be part of the baseline. And once part of the baseline, we can then create permanence around those positions, especially around the legal aid and the judiciary. From the department side, already there's a process positions are being used to create permanency around the CRT clerks, whatever, because there's normally those functions which are continuous in nature. But obviously, there may be some adjustment if the court's numbers are increased by this special arrangement. So we'll be able to say with certainty after these courts have run for a duration, then we can then make a case through the DG to the National Treasurer that we that this case be part of a permanent feature of the court system. But as long as they are on a pilot basis, Treasurer will always give that money on that basis. I hope I've tried to answer, Honorable Chair.
Oh, thank you very much. Deputy Minister, I would like on behalf of this committee to take this opportunity to express our deep felt gratitude for a task well executed, first and foremost, in the sense that when the head of state makes an undertaking, it is important that there's follow-up and that actually gets fulfilled. With the report that has been presented here today, led by you, Deputy Minister, this really resonates with principles of contentment. And as such, we are very happy that there is this much progress that we have had, and it's highly commendable, and we wish that you could keep up the good work from the point of view of the Department of Justice, because that department is one of the most critical, important departments insofar as access to justice, as well as for the wheels of justice to be seen to be working. So with this, we wish to say that we are now concluding on this item, and I think all the questions have been exhausted. And thank you for the answers. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you, DM. We thank the DG Mashabane, as well as DG Skosane, and the entire team. Deputy Minister, you had asked to be released at 1:30. We could actually release you 15 minutes earlier. And I just hope that when you do leave, there won't be an exodus of other people who had not asked to be relieved. So with those few words, again, Sithi Siyabonga, Siyabulela, thank you, Baya Danki.
Thanks, Chair.
Chair, I'm asking to accompany the DM.
Yeah, I was going to say, can the justice officials also be excused? I was worried what you said about the exodus, but they're here for this item. So, Chair, with your permission, if they can also be excused. And thanks very much to you and the committee.
Thank you, DM. The request is accepted. They may leave with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Enjoy the rest
thank
of your
time. Honourable members, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thanks, Honourable members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and members.
You're welcome. We now go to the second item in our agenda, colleagues, and that talks to the adoption of the undertakings and the progress report which was presented to us by the Department of Social Development. There, that item is being flighted. But just before we go through that, I just want to check the status of the quorum of this meeting if it remains the same as we began, or new members have come into the platform. Can you make an indication, Nganyiso? Since this is a draft report, do we really require?
Thanks, Chair.
Quorum.
Yes, we do require quorum, Chair.
Okay, and can you make an indication? Yes.
We do have sufficient members.
Oh, wonderful.
To adopt the report in minutes.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
Honorable members, this draft report for the consideration of this committee to adopt was shared with us as early as last week. And I hope that the members have familiarized themselves with this particular draft report. And therefore, I am not sure whether you want us to go line by line, or we can zoom into the recommendations, or we can then give an opportunity to the members just to ventilate on this one before we go to the mover for the adoption. I leave it up to you, members. I don't want to dictate terms as to how we approach this, but I think there are practices that have always been followed when it comes to that, especially if a report has been shared with us in due time.
Chair, with your indulgence, I propose that because we received the report beforehand, we have read it, I propose that you go straight to the recommendations. And if any member wants to say some issues, they are free to do that. But the best way is to go to the recommendations, and thereafter we decide whether we adopt the report or not. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Dodovo. Thank you so much. That is quite helpful. Is there any contrary view to that, progressive view?
We support the view, Chair.
Thank you very much. Nkanyiso, can you just lift those recommendations?
I have, Chair, just one recommendation.
Okay, can you just read it for the members?
Okay, thanks, Chair. Further in noting the progress report,
I would have thought that there are mitigating factors that lead to that consolidated recommendation.
Observations.
Yes.
Should I start with the observations?
How many are those? Are they limited to only five?
They are limited to four.
Okay, just read those and then go straight to that recommendation.
Okay, thanks, Chair. In noting the progress report given by the Department of Social Development in relation to the implementation of the executive undertakings under review, the committee made the following observations and key findings. The department assured the committee that it could not account for all donations that it has received from various players who had assisted it in terms of food distribution. And it could also account for all food that it had distributed as the department and SASA, since their systems were very sound in this regard. The department indicated that many opportunities would arise as a result of what the president had announced in terms of economic reconstruction and recovery plan. And it should be noted that the department and other departments would be working to provide the database and assist those people to be able to get into these economic opportunities. By point three, National Treasury had been very strict in the sense that it had raised the issue of fiscal constraints, which limited the department's capacity and ability to employ more social workers. However, the department informed the committee that it has continued to engage with National Treasury and its continuous processes. 5.4, regarding the issue of GBV and the specific programs that the department was working on, it reported that there was a GBV commander center that provided real-time information in terms of what was happening in various districts. It has high-end technology, geolocation systems, and that the ministry had recently launched a program with a number of other programs that the department was working on with the provinces and other role players and stakeholders, particularly in civil society, to try and extend the message of GBV. The recommendations. Further in noting the progress report made by the Minister of Social Development, the committee lastly observes that the executive undertakings have been adequately implemented and therefore recommend that they be closed. That's all, Mr. Chair.
There it is, members. Very clear and succinct. Can you hear me, members?
Yes, Chair. I just want to make one correction, Chair, at 5.1, Honorable Bartlett.
Yes, madam.
Yeah, yeah. No, the 5.1 states it could, and the presenter said it could not. The department assured that it could account, and he said that it could not.
Or when he read, he made a mistake. When otherwise, the writing is correct.
Yeah. Yes, Chair.
Okay. No, wonderful. Thank you for that correction. There it is, members. Is there any further engagement, or are we happy that this is a reflection of our inputs?
Yes, Chair.
Okay, can I have a mover then?
I move, Chair, Honorable Bartlett.
Honorable Bartlett moves for the adoption of this report. Any seconder?
Honorable
Mutsama is seconding. Thank you very much, colleagues. The report is duly adopted, and thank you very much. We stand down from this item. We go to the last item on the agenda. This is the wrong agenda now, but that's the right one. Okay, yes. The last item is the minutes of the previous meeting, colleagues. Again, these minutes were circulated to all the members, and I think that this meeting in question was one of the shortest meetings in this financial year. And I'm sure that all members have familiarized themselves. I went through the minutes myself. If there are any things that need to be corrected, members can highlight those, whether it's grammatical mistakes can just be even be indicated offline, but let's just focus on to the content. There are the minutes, colleagues. Is this the true reflection of the minutes of that meeting?
Yes, Chair, and I move for the adoption.
Can you just say your name? Is that Honorable Bushaik?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Shaikh is moving for the adoption of these minutes. Any seconder?
Jamfas Ashad.
Thank you very much for seconding. Colleagues, this means that these minutes are now duly adopted by this meeting, and we also then stand down from this item. I wish to thank the members for taking time to attend this very important meeting on a very important day, when we're going to be hearing the the midterm budget speech by the Minister of Finance. And I think we were very much efficient, members, in terms of your deliberations in this meeting, and were able to complete the business of this select committee meeting within an hour. And that is highly commendable. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Chair.
Cheers.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much, Chairperson.